The desire for increased energy over the coming few decades is reaching a fever pitch in red-hot economies. An energy analyst with the International Atomic Energy Agency, Helen MacDonald, is under no illusion about who will be the most voracious about the most controversial energy source of all.
China and India have booming economies, booming populations, growing energy demand. They basically need to develop all the energy sources they can. Right now, nuclear electricity is only a small percentage, 2% in China and 3% of electricity in India, but China plans a five-fold increase by 2020, and India plans an eight-fold increase by 2022.
China's central government has set tough targets for energy consumption and pollutants discharges through 2010 and beyond. Nuclear energy, along with its massive hydroelectric schemes, are the centrepiece of these aims. China's 11 nuclear plants are a combination of homegrown, French, Canadian, and Russian technologies. But now, for the first time, China is developing nuclear technology through agreements with the United States. Four new reactors with American firm Westinghouse. The World Nuclear Association's Ian Hoare-Lacy says the cooperation is remarkable, given US reluctance to help in the past.
It is generally believed that that's because of technology transfer aspects, and they were wanting a high level of technology transfer and the right to be able to then adapt and sell that technology by way of exports from China. The Westinghouse deal is presumed to have come closer to that objective than the others. And also, of course, there is the actual intrinsic virtue of the three technologies being offered. And by some accounts, the Westinghouse was the most advanced.
China announced last week the concrete is to start to pour in March in East China's Zhejiang province. It will be the world's first third-generation nuclear plant and its first with US know-how. The Sanmen 1 unit is set to come online in August 2013, with three others to follow. China's state nuclear power technology company says it has received the 2.2 tons of technical documentation from Westinghouse and is set to go. According to Ian Hoare-Lacy, the third-generation units are a cut above the rest.
They all differ from the very well-proven second-generation designs in about the same way as a current model motor car differs from a 1970s one. Recognisable similarities, but a good deal more sophistication. And one of the aspects particularly that's emphasised by Westinghouse is that there are a lot fewer pipes and pumps and wires and so forth. The whole thing is simplified a good deal from the earlier versions related to the technology being relatively immature in the 60s when they were designed.
Just over 2 weeks ago, two new second-generation nuclear reactors went online in Jiangsu province. The two Tian-1 reactors use 50 tonnes of nuclear fuel a year, with virtually no emissions. Coal-fired power plants with the same capacity require 6 million tonnes of coal. So now Jiangsu is closing down many small, highly polluting coal-fired power plants. The International Atomic Energy Agency's Alan MacDonald says pollution is just one of the many concerns driving a renaissance in the nuclear energy industry.
There are good reasons for that renaissance and interest. The nuclear power has a strong and successful performance record. Its economics are strong in most countries. The new environmental constraints, such as greenhouse gases, make it attractive. Energy security concerns, which drove the development in Japan and France back in the 1970s, are again high on the agenda. So there are good reasons for the renaissance of interest. Whether it turns into a renaissance of operating plants is still yet to be seen, and there's still a fair amount of uncertainty.
The United States operates 103 reactors to China's 11, and both are now on par in their greenhouse gas emissions. After holding out for so long with its technology, the United States is now certain to continue assisting China and its energy needs.
In 2006, it commissioned new coal-fired plants with the equivalent capacity to more than twice Australia's total generating capacity. Now, that's just a one-year increment. And so that's the way things are happening over there in response to escalating power demands. a clearer statement would be that the more of these large new nuclear plants come online, the less coal capacity will need to be also commissioned.